So next we have Kimberly McKee, who's from the University of Rochester. She's going to talk about the expanded SHIP eligibility and influence of vaccination, something that CDC always loves. So, Kimberly.
Thank you and good morning. So I'm going to provide just a brief background on our topic before I go into our research question and results. I have no relationships or finances to disclose. So really what prompted us to look at this was that despite the clear benefits of influenza vaccination among young children, vaccination receipt among young children falls significantly short of both ACIP recommendations and Healthy People both 2010 and 2020 goals among children 6 to 23 months. Universal influenza vaccination was initiated in 2004 for this age group and was expanded to all children under the age of 18 in 2008. But despite this, rates of influenza vaccination among young children has risen very little over the last several years. So in 2006, approximately only 20% of young children were fully vaccinated, and this number rose to only about 30% in 2009. Insurance status is one potential modifiable factor of vaccination in general and influenza vaccinations in particular. There's a clear evidence base for this in the literature that show that lower rates of vaccinations are evident in under and uninsured children, but most studies have focused on routine childhood immunizations, which have relatively higher coverage rates among young children. There are two general mechanisms by which health insurance can lead to uptake of vaccines. Firstly, they help to cover the cost of the vaccine itself, which reduces barriers for both parents and healthcare providers. And secondly, it enhances a child's access to primary care in general. So we looked at one particular form of health insurance, which is the State Children's Health Insurance Program. This is a federal entitlement program that requires matching state funds. It's been around since about 1997. And it was really designed as a safety net program for working poor families, which for the purposes of our study, we termed near poor. These are families who would be ineligible for Medicaid, but who otherwise may be precluded from private insurance. Implementation of this program varies widely among states, particularly with regard to income eligibility criteria. And because it requires state matching funds, most states have been unable, in the early history of this program, to increase income eligibility beyond 200% of the federal poverty level. But since about 2007, we've seen that many states have expanded income eligibility beyond 200% of the federal poverty level. So in light of discussions about healthcare reform and the reauthorization of this program, we were really prompted to look at whether state expansions in income eligibility were associated with influenza vaccination among near-poor children. Near-poor children meaning those who are eligible for SCHIP by their family income. Our specific hypothesis was whether near-poor SCHIP eligible children who lived in a state with expanded SCHIP income eligibility, which we, for the purposes of our analyses, defined as greater than 200% of the federal poverty level, would have higher influenza vaccination rates compared to near-poor children living in states with income eligibility less than 200% of the federal poverty level. The significance of this question is really two-pronged, but really our focus was to examine whether influenza vaccination could be increased through expansions in SCHIP and other health insurance programs for young children, and provide really an evidence-based for further healthcare reform and expansion to improve coverage broadly. There's also there's been some articles in the literature suggesting that childhood immunizations are a potential target metric of SCHIP. but that really wasn't the focus of our research. The study population for our study was the National Immunization Survey, which we examined from 2006 to 2009. We looked at children ages 6 to 23 months, as I mentioned, and this data source is the best known national data source for childhood immunizations. It's conducted annually by the CDC. It's a random digit dial survey that's really nicely verified with immunization providers, so it's both self-report and verification by the providers. It's naturally representative and uses weights so the estimates can be calculated at the national level and then by state and select metropolitan areas. For our study, we excluded children who would be ineligible for influenza vaccination. So those were children who were outside of the 6 to 23 month age range for our study, and then children with missing income and covariate data. Our key explanatory variable was SCHIP eligibility at the state level. So we merged HRSA data with the NIS for this particular variable. And we categorized it as either less than 200% of the federal poverty level or greater than 200% of the federal poverty level. Family income, we considered a child to be poor if they lived below the federal poverty level, or near poor if they were in a household that made above the federal poverty level but less than $75,000 per year, or non-poor, which we characterized as greater than 75% annual household income. And these were measured at the individual level as categorized by the NIS. Our outcome variable was influenza vaccination receipt, which we measured in two ways. And this is in line with ACIP effectiveness guidelines, which is full vaccination requires either two doses in any single season if a child has been previously unimmunized, or a single vaccination if a child had a previous vaccination in a previous season. We also looked at receipt of at least one vaccination if a child was previously unimmunized, really as a measure of access. In our multivariate analyses, we also included some individual and state-level covariates. At the individual level, we accounted for race, maternal education, marital status, facility type. At the state level, we looked at Medicaid reimbursement for flu vaccination, which is available from the CMS, and we also accounted for regional factors such as census region. For our analyses, we first conducted descriptive statistics, and we looked at bivariate associations using chi-square tests of association using a p-value of 0.05. We then conducted multivariate logistic regression and conducted four cross-sectional individual level analyses for each outcome. And we accounted for year-to-year increases in SCHIP eligibility because each year some states shifted their eligibility criteria by running separate models for each year. To test our hypothesis, which looked at SCHIP effect on SCHIP eligible children, we used interaction terms. So we used SCHIP at the state level, the income eligibility criteria interacted with income at the individual level, and we used contrast statements to compare near poor children living in states who had income eligibility less than 200% of the federal poverty level to near poor children living in states with greater than 200% of the federal poverty level SCHIP. And for all of our analyses, we use the sampling weights provided by the NIS that account for the complex sampling design of the survey, and we use backward elimination in SAS 9.2 using proc survey logistic, which accounts for those complex sampling designs. For the most part, our sample did not change very much in terms of its demographic characteristics over time. Our SCHIP eligibility variable roughly captured about, our cut point divided children roughly equally in any given year. The number of states in the expanded group ranged between 24 and 26 states. When we looked at the bivariate associations and the crude vaccination rates by year, first we noticed that influenza vaccination rates have increased over time, so they've risen to a little over 30% in 2009 from a little over 20% in 2006. There was a gradient with regard to income, with non-poor children having the highest rates of influenza vaccination and poor children having the lowest rates of influenza vaccination, and states with expanded SCHIP eligibility had significantly higher rates of influenza vaccination, and all bolded and asterisked proportions were significantly different. For our multivariate results, we noted a positive association across all four seasons for both full and partial influenza vaccination, but our results did not meet significance with the exception of partial vaccination and in 2006 and full vaccination in 2009. So we did notice this trend. You know, we're not sure if we didn't meet significance in all years because rates of influenza vaccination rose overall. And we did notice that variation among states narrowed over the time period of our study, which could have attenuated any SCHIP effect. It's also possible that the vaccine safety net system is sufficient to overcome insurance barriers, but other literature suggests that that's probably not the case. More likely, we believe that given the low levels of influenza vaccination across the 4 years that we examined, there are probably barriers beyond health insurance that override any possible insurance effect. And these include both patient and healthcare provider factors. There are a couple limitations to our study. First, enrollment and retention data were not available, but we treated this as an intention to treat analysis. So we knew whether a child was eligible for SCHIP, but not whether they were actually enrolled in the health insurance program. But again, this was treated as an intention to treat analysis. Secondly, and relatedly, income eligibility may have been, because we estimated eligibility using income as a proxy, this may have led to non-differential misclassification of SCHIP eligibility and would have led to a null effect. We are also unable to include other state policies that include things like the vaccine supply available in the state or things like flu epidemic activity, which can affect influenza vaccination rates, and this was due to an absence of data. So to conclude, although we didn't find a significant association across four seasons between SCHIP income eligibility and influenza vaccination rates, we did note a positive association, and the direction was certainly, I think, encouraging. Near-poor children may face barriers to vaccination aside from health insurance access, and that we may need strategies beyond health insurance, such as SCHIP, to address current gaps in coverage goals. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and funding support. Thank you.